We're talking about legislation that would create stricter penalties for driving under the influence in Wisconsin. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. A group of state lawmakers has been working to get tougher laws on the books for drunken driving for a decade now, but these bills continue to face opposition. Are you a judge? How do you feel about how the court handles OWIs? What should change? Are you a prosecutor? Do you support first OWI offenders appearing in court? What do you think of our state's current laws? We're at 800-642-1234. Jim Ott is a Republican state representative from Mequon, representing the 23rd Assembly District. He's worked on a number of bills over the years that create stiffer penalties for drunk drivers. Representative Ott, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good to be with you this morning, Kate. On a kind of a chilly morning, I see Madison has set a record low for the date with 5 degrees. Their old record was 7. We've tied a record in Milwaukee at 9. So a beautiful full moon out there, but definitely a chilly morning. Good to be with you.
It is. It is indeed. Well, before we talk about the bills and what they would do, why has this issue, driving drunk, been such a policy focus for you in your legislative career?
Well, I guess you would have to say there's some people that think the laws are just fine the way they are, and it's hard to, you know, put a number on that. But I will say we have been making progress. It's been slow, but it's like the last couple of sessions we've got an important bill or two passed. In this session, actually today, we're taking up a bill in the Assembly. It's Assembly Bill 16. Which corresponds to Senate Bill 6, which was already passed by the Senate, and this would make fifth and sixth offenders have an 18-month mandatory minimum sentence. And we should be able to pass that today, and that means out of the 5 bills that I've mainly been working on this session, 2 of them will be ready to go to the governor, and I'm still hopeful for a couple of more getting done before the session is over. So we are making progress. It's just a little bit too slow. It's, you know, like you say, a dozen years or so. It's been a long time.
Well, back in January, you were hopeful that you'd find an ally in these bills with Governor Evers. How has the governor responded?
Well, I'm pretty confident, Kate, that he's going to be signing the 2 bills that we have ready, which will be, again, Assembly Bill 16, Senate Bill 6, and Assembly Bill 17, which was passed earlier by the Assembly, and then it was passed by the Senate last week. That puts a 5-year mandatory minimum for homicide OWI, of which there is no mandatory minimum right now. I'm pretty confident that there's no reason why he wouldn't sign these 2 bills when they get to his desk, and I'm hopeful if we get a couple more done that he'll sign those as well. This is really a bipartisan issue when you come to making our roads safer in Wisconsin.
Well, let's go back to Senate Bill 6. As you mentioned, you co-authored this bill, passed the state Senate last week. It's up for today in the Assembly. It says people arrested for their 5th or 6th OWI offense must serve a minimum of 18 months. That would be up from currently serving a minimum of 6 months. Has Wisconsin seen an increase of 5th and 6th OWI offenses?
Well, I think if you go back, you know, 20 or 30 years, there's probably less drunk driving today than there was then. There might be less drunk driving today than there was 10 years ago. So I think that probably, if you compared with the past, there probably are less 5th and 6th offenses right now than there were, say, 10 years ago. The thing is, there's still too many. There's still way too many. And the average incarceration for 5th and 6th, according to the Department of Corrections, is 16 and a half months. That's the average. The maximum you can get for 5th and 6th is 10 years. So the sentences have been much, much closer to the minimum of 6 months than they have to anywhere near the maximum. And I can understand that. You know, you can make the case that somebody who drives drunk a 5th time, they probably shouldn't go to prison for 10 years. But if they've driven drunk and been convicted 4 times and now they're caught and convicted a 5th time, there's obviously a pattern of behavior there that's putting other people at risk, and we shouldn't have to put up with that. You should not have to worry about driving home from work in the evening and having somebody cross the center line and hit you head on, and that happens all too often in Wisconsin. Oftentimes it's a repeat offender, but sometimes you have people that have no prior offenses that end up having a homicide issue or, you know, obviously some other kind of a crash.
We're talking drunk driving laws in Wisconsin with State Representative Jim Ott. He's a Republican from Mequon. You can join in. What questions do you have for Representative Ott? Which OWI laws would you like to see in the state? What do you think of our current drunken driving laws? What needs to change? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So let's look at this Assembly Bill 17 you mentioned. You authored this bill that passed the Senate last week that would require a minimum sentence of 5 years in prison for committing homicide while driving drunk. Why are you supporting that minimum amount behind bars?
Well, what I've learned in studying this issue over the years is that there have been too many cases where someone kills someone, a drunk driver kills someone, and there's no mitigating circumstances. I mean, sometimes it's been the middle of the afternoon, across the center line or run through a stop sign and broadside someone, and the family member who's been killed, I mean, it's just devastating to the family, and many times a relatively young life is wiped out. And I found that too often a time sentences are very light. In one case, somebody got, I think it was 11 months in jail in Huber release. Another time, somebody got a year, somebody got 2 years or 3 years. Now, I'm not saying that all the time homicide OWI sentences are that light. There are cases where somebody gets 10 or 15 years. And the thing is, though, if you can imagine a family that loses a father, a brother, a daughter, and the person who did it spends a year in behind bars and then they walk away, somehow that just seems like it adds, really is insulting to the family. It's saying, what is a life worth? And with no mandatory minimum, it is possible for someone to get a very light sentence. And that's the reason why we're looking at a mandatory minimum here, just because it seems to me, you know, the punishment should meet the severity of the crime. And killing someone while drunk seems to me to be a pretty serious crime.
Representative Ott, one of the things you've been running up against through the years on these bills is their cost. State estimates say the bill would cost about $15 million on just one of these bills. What would you say about the fiscal estimates here?
Well, number one, I think the Department of Corrections oftentimes overestimates the cost, because my purpose in introducing these bills, for the most part, and I say homicide OWI, we're looking at, you know, obviously punishing a serious crime and making the punishment fit the crime. But all the rest of the bills are really dealing with deterrence. I say this bill that, Senate Bill 6, mandatory 18 months in prison for fifth or sixth offense. I would hope that someone who gets a fourth offense, when the judge and their attorney says to them, if you do this again, you're going to spend 18 months in prison. Powerful message. I think a few years ago when we made fourth offense a felony in all cases, I think somebody with a third offense standing in front of the judge hearing, you know what, you do this again, you're going to be a felon. I think that's a powerful message, and hopefully a powerful deterrent message to bad behavior. So I think that if you've got to take into account that if we're trying to produce a deterrent, you shouldn't have as many offenders, and that's actually the goal. If we were just increasing penalties and it wasn't going to make any difference for safety on the road, I would say, well, is it really worth doing? The other thing, Kate, is an idea that I've been kind of throwing around, and seems to be a number of people might be in favor of looking at this.
Can you pause on this idea here? We're going to get this idea in just a moment as we talk with Representative Jim Ott about bills addressing drunk driving and the efforts of state lawmakers over the years to strengthen penalties. Do you work in law enforcement? How often do you pull over drunk drivers? Do you see a trend toward multiple OWIs? What should be done about it? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Representative Ott here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about legislation to make stricter laws around drunken driving. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Deterrence has been Representative Jim Ott's central focus, the one word that continually comes up as he's talked about these bills over the past decade. He wants laws that deter intoxicated drivers from ever getting behind the wheel. Have you ever been involved in an alcohol-related crash? What happened? Was the drunken driver held accountable? Share your story, 800-642-1234. And Representative Jim Ott of Mequon stays with us. Representative Ott, you were just getting to a big idea when we had to go to our break. Can you finish your thought for us?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I look at what it would cost to build a new prison, and the cost is, you know, obviously pretty incredible. But I also see, you know, there's plenty of abandoned buildings around the state, old manufacturing plants or buildings that could be, say, converted into a minimum security prison that would just house drunk drivers, which would, you know, again, I mean, you can make the argument maybe a drunk driver doesn't fit in the same place as a murderer fits. So have a prison that's dedicated to holding drunk drivers. It wouldn't be nearly as expensive, I think, as building a new prison. It also wouldn't be as expensive to staff. You wouldn't need the security that you have in, say, a maximum security prison. And this would give us an opportunity to, well, if we're talking about increasing penalties, to put people away for a longer period of time to keep them off the roads if they're a chronic offender, and at the same time, it wouldn't cost as much. So I'm throwing that idea around as a possible way of dealing with some of these high fiscal notes. And, you know, the other thing, Kate, I really have no interest in seeing more people spend more time incarcerated or having people pay higher fines. I would like to see less drunk driving. I would like to see safer roads. And the thing is, today, there are so many alternatives to driving drunk. Everybody has a cell phone. You have private taxi services. You have public transportation. You have safe ride programs, designated drivers. There's absolutely no reason to get behind the wheel impaired.
So are you going to formally propose that type of idea to lawmakers in the near future?
Well, the first thing I have to do is talk to people from the Department of Corrections. And like I say, I just came up with this thought, you know, a few weeks back, so I haven't really had time to look into it. But that's something I think I'll be doing as we finish the November session days and get into December. So see if it has any traction. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow, but it is a possible way of dealing with chronic drunk drivers, and at the same time not having to build a new prison or overcrowd the prisons that we have.
Let's bring in Randy now, joining us from Madison. Good morning, Randy.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate you tackling this on the air, important issue. Thing I'm wondering a little about, you know, as you're getting to offenders with three and more OWIs, might expect that they're more likely to be struggling with an alcohol use disorder, a treatable condition, and I'm wondering to what extent resources to address that would be available under what you're proposing, or if there are proposals to expand on those so that when they leave incarceration, they're less likely to reoffend.
Well, very good question, Randy, and good morning, and thanks for calling. I'll tell you what, we have designated money in separate programs for treatment. And we also have, you know, alternatives to incarceration are available. Some of the counties have what you call drug courts, where a person, if they go into treatment voluntarily, they would have to serve less time. The other thing is, if we were to have, a minimum security prison that was just housing repeat OWI offenders, you would be able to make the focus of that facility on treatment, not just on incarceration. So yeah, that's obviously the other side of it. There's no question that alcohol addiction plays a role. And unfortunately, now it seems like more and more people impaired on drugs will be a problem as well. But in any case, you don't want somebody out there driving a 3,000-pound vehicle that can't keep it on their side of the road.
Randy, thanks for the call. Let's bring in Keith now, joining us from Beaver Dam. Hi, Keith.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question about if somebody has a lock on their vehicle and they can't drive and they get into another vehicle that somebody lets them use, borrow, family, friend, is the person that lets them use that vehicle, are they liable for anything? Or as one, you know, because if there's a lock on a car, you know, they shouldn't be able to drive any other vehicle.
And when you say a lock, an ignition interlock device?
Yeah, that's yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So I was wondering, is you know, yeah, somebody that knows that,
Representative Ott, and you're currently co-sponsoring a bill that would require first-time OWI offenders to only drive a vehicle equipped with an ignition interlock device. How would this requirement be enforced, as Keith brings up?
Well, and that is a very good question as well, Keith. And the ignition interlocks in Wisconsin are required for first-time offenders whose blood alcohol concentration is 0.15 or higher. That's about double the limit of 0.08. And any repeat offenders are required to have an ignition interlock. Until last session, there was a loophole in that law that it didn't say that you couldn't drive somebody else's car that didn't have the interlock. It just said you had to have one put on your own car, and you didn't have to have it put there until your license was reinstated. Well, people were driving before their license was reinstated, and they were caught, but they weren't cited for an interlock because the court order said that you didn't have to have it on until the license was reinstated. So that was one of the laws we passed, and I think it's been a big improvement. Anyone who has an interlock order on their automobile is not allowed to drive any car without an interlock. As far as someone being responsible, say, if they allowed someone to drive their car that didn't have an interlock on it, I suspect you would at least face possibly some civil liability if the person was involved in a crash. Whether there be criminal liability, I guess you'd have to prove that they knowingly let the person drive their car, but that's an issue that really hasn't arisen much. All I know is right now the law says you get an interlock order because of an OWI offense. You're not allowed to drive any car without an interlock.
We're talking with State Representative Jim Ott from Mequon. We're talking about legislation he's pushing that would crack down on drunken driving in Wisconsin. Your thoughts as well at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Scott now, joining us from West Bend this morning. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I guess my question runs back to, we talk about habitual offenders and the fact that they're driving around after 5 or 6. Why are we even allowing these people to register a vehicle? It seems to make sense to me that we've tried everything else. Okay, we're taking away their licenses. We are, you know, putting interlocks in a car. Why do we even allow them to register a vehicle that they can then take off and go drive down the road?
And that's a very good question, Scott. And this issue has come up in the past. And at one point, a number of sessions ago, I introduced a bill that would say third offenders and more would actually have their vehicle impounded. And the pushback we got on that was, well, what if it's the family car and somebody else in the family needs the car to get to work? And what about the drunk driver themselves when they're not incarcerated, that they need the car to get to work? That was the pushback we got on that. And, you know, that certainly, I think, is a valid point to make. If you've got one person in the family who drives drunk and the car is registered in their name and you take the car away, you took it away from the rest of the family as well. But I guess my response to that always is, well, if you got one car and the whole family depends on it, then why would you drive drunk and, you know, take the chance of maybe crashing the car? That happens too. You know, people run their car into a tree. It's unusable. The rest of the family can't use it either. So, but anyways, we did try that, and it might be something to look at again in the future, but that's the pushback you get on that one. The rest of the family might need the car, and the person may need the car to get to work themselves. So that's that.
Scott, thanks for the call. Representative, you're co-sponsoring a bill that would extend the time limit of prosecuting OWI offenses. Current law says it must be done within 3 years. This bill extends the time limit to 6. Why do you think prosecutors need more time?
Well, and in fact, the bill would make first offense being a civil forfeiture, the statute of limitations is 2 years. Second and third offense being a criminal misdemeanor, the statute right now is 3 years. So we go to 3 years for first offense and for 6 years for second and third offense. And the problem right now is that sometimes people will get an OWI in another state, and the arresting officer doesn't have that information right away, and the prosecutor doesn't get that information right away. So maybe they got an OWI in Minnesota, and then they get an OWI in Wisconsin, and the one in Wisconsin is prosecuted as a first offense when it's really a second offense. And sometimes before that problem is discovered, the statute of limitations has run. So this would give prosecutors a little more time. The other problem that's arisen is sometimes a person will get, say, a first offense, and before that's even been prosecuted, they'll get a second offense. And if there's a delay in prosecuting the first offense, the second offense has to be prosecuted as a first offense if it's prosecuted first, because they don't have a conviction. So by putting a six-year statute of limitations, it would give prosecutors more time to deal with situations like that.
Representative Ott, thank you for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, Kate. It's a very important topic, and like I say, I want to see safe roads in Wisconsin. I don't think anybody should have to put up with being, you know, slammed into by an impaired driver.
Jim Ott is a Republican state representative from Mequon. He represents Assembly District 23. Coming up, we're joined by Wisconsin's Teacher of the Year and what she's learned from other educators who hold this distinction. You can join in. Are you a teacher? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back after this news update here on the Ideas Network.